On our last broadcast, I told you it's possible to tame the wild stallion of anger and to actually make it your servant, to use the raw power of anger for good in your life and in the lives of those around you. Today, I'll give you the specific steps you need to begin turning anger from a foe to a friend. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues our current series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. Now, if you missed our previous broadcast, let me encourage you to take a little time to hear that message, since Chip lays down a lot of the groundwork for what you'll hear today. To do that, just go to livingontheedge.org and click Listen Now on our homepage. Now, if you have a Bible handy, open it to James chapter 1, and let's join Chip for part 2 of his message, Turning Anger from a Foe to a Friend.
We need to figure out the who, the what, the how, and then finally the when. When should I deal with the situation? You know, should I do it now? Right now? I mean, let's get this taken care of right now. Should I do it later? Or like in the case of that letter, should I do it never? At the bottom, we have a continuum of ways to express anger. And you can just see, you know, I just wanted to give you this to get, you know, unhealthy way, get it all out. Healthy, you express it. The healthy way, you redirect or release. Unhealthy, you grin and bear it, basically stuff. Unhealthy way, you explode versus healthy, you communicate. Discharge, that's, you know, sometimes there's just little hurts. I mean, it's not worth having some big thing over someone who said something that you know they didn't really mean anything by it, and there's three or four of those things, and you don't want to make a big deal, and you realize God doesn't want you to confront people over every little thing, but you got four or five of them. You know what I do? I get on the elliptical for 45 minutes. And you just blow it out, and you thank God, and you know they're falling, and I'm falling. It's not that big a deal. I know their heart. I know their character. Every time something happens, you don't have to get it all. You know, we wouldn't have anything else to do the whole rest of the day, would we? And so there's times where if it bugs you, it sticks with you. It's not resolved. You've prayed about it. You realize God says, look, confront this, either in person, when to do it, how to do it. And there's just a lot of stuff that love covers a multitude of, okay? And so you just love them, you forgive them, but your emotions are all jazzed up. So take a walk, listen to some music, do something positive, get a workout, you know, take a bag and bite it and, no, I don't know. I've seen them do this stuff on TV. I don't know if it works, but some different activity. As you think about turning anger from that wild stallion out of control to that horse that will do what you say, I've given you a methodical process. And I'm going to say that most all of you, what I've placed here in front of you now is a summary of how you can discover your tendencies and walk through the process of the who, the what, the how, and the when. And the questions are for you to discover, do you tend to gravitate towards confrontation or not confronting when you're angry? Do you tend to run from confrontation when you shouldn't, or do you tend to confront when you shouldn't? Question, have you ever written an anger letter? Did you send it? Why or why not? Are you glad you did or didn't? And then there's a list of questions here. They're very diagnostic. These are just kind of for you personally, where you answer the following questions kind of about the when. And you can go through those and you can just see, you know, yes, no, sometimes. Do I tend to run from conflict? Do I tend to do this? Do I tend to do that? And what you'll get there is a process where all I'm wanting to do is help you get a little picture of this is how I tend to deal with this issue, because most of us have never thought about it. And by the way, it's not please. Some of you, especially a little obsessive, compulsive, down on you, live with a lot of condemnation, a la stuffers. Don't go through here and go, oh gosh, I'm terrible. Yes, I do that. There's not a right or wrong. I mean, it's like, do you have blue eyes or brown eyes? Oh, I got blue eyes. I'm sorry. Well, you know, it's okay. You know, this is how you are. And this is where you're at today. And the God who loves you, died for you, raised from the dead, placed his spirit in you, and has a home waiting for you, brought you to a place to say, hey, guess what? I love you, and I would like you to turn this nemesis called anger into a friend. And so the only way you can move forward, you got to say, where am I now? This is how I tend to respond. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Well, you're a person. Now I know how to respond in the future. Does that make sense? Now, it's one thing for us to come together and say, okay, anger is a neutral emotion. It's given by God as a gift for self-protection. It produces many positive things, but it's very dangerous. It's a wild stallion. It can be a great servant to us or, total destruction in our lives and relationships. But what's the scripture have to say about it? What's God, God, help us. Give us clear instruction from your word about how do I manage my anger, or I would say even, how do I tame my temper? Because it is a big issue. A little research before we jump in. The average man loses his temper approximately 6 times a week. The average woman loses her temper about 3 times a week. Men tend to get angry at things, not working, circumstances. Women tend to get angry more about relationships. Single people tend to get angry almost twice as often as those that are married. Men are more likely to be physical in their anger. And all of us, listen to this, are twice as likely to express our anger at home more than at work or school. That is a wild stallion that needs to be dealt with. Lord, help us. And so, speaking to a group of people under very intense pressure, many of them had lost their homes, many have been disowned, many married someone and now their mate doesn't believe in the Messiah, they've just come to Christ, and so their mate has abandoned them or divorced them, and their life is falling apart. And James would say, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. And then later he would say to them, if you lack wisdom, ask God, he'll show you what to do. And then he talks in that early chapter about how to get perspective on difficult circumstances. And he promises them blessedness if they can endure through very, very difficult times. But he knows there's a temptation when under pressure to take a shortcut, to get really angry at yourself, at other people, at circumstances, and at God. And so we pick up the story in James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, verse 19, the half-brother of our Lord says, my dear brothers, notice the kindness and the warmth. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now notice the purpose clause or the why. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. What a statement. My anger at my mate, my manipulation out of my anger, my blowing up, my stuffing, my expressing, my wild stallion out of control does not produce the righteous life that God requires. It doesn't fulfill the righteous. It doesn't make relationships right. Things don't get better when I use anger out of control. And so he says, guys, 1, 2, 3. There is a 3-step process given by God to begin to tame the wild stallion of your anger and mine. Step 1 is be quick to hear. The word quick to hear literally is, the word hear means an eagerness to listen. It doesn't mean just you hear a word. It means openness, readiness, availability, and desire to learn and to hear God's truth, God's word. And this word to hear, A.T. Robertson in his grammar says, this word to listen or to hear is not simply attentive, assertive, clear listening, but it's listening for a truth from God in the situation in order to apply it. So he says, we all want to be quick to hear. Our immediate response, the first thing in the God's anger management plan to God, others, our circumstances, and our anger is to be receptive listeners, not reactionary responders. Most of us, our anger, it just comes out. He says, no. Step 1, develop an attitude of reception instead of reaction. This is really important for fellow spewers. So easy to be blunt, critical. And by the way, I think there are Christian and non-Christian spewers. Non-Christian spewers vomit their anger. Christian spewers, because that's not very socially acceptable, we just say blunt, harsh, uncaring, negative, critical words that dismiss people's feelings or dismiss their value. And often quote a verse afterwards to justify how we have just not treated them well. So don't always think of spewing as, well, gosh, I don't scream and yell at people. I mean, when I was walking out of my house, I didn't scream at my kids. If someone said, you yelled at your kids, I didn't. Is this yelling? Annie, make your bed right now. But listen to the tone of voice. It was 100% spew. Ryan, have you done your chores? What? It was anger. I need to learn to be receptive instead of react. As you feel the anger gauge going up, stop and listen. And here's the key question to ask. What is this anger telling me? Why am I angry? What's going on inside? If you don't get anything out of this entire time together, if you could remember that anger is a secondary emotion and it's not the problem, it'll change your life. If you can just keep the image, every time I start to get angry, and by the way, I've learned to use the other words that helps me, because you say to someone, are you angry? Oh no, I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. You can call it whatever you want. You're angry, okay? When I feel that coming on, when I feel short, when I want to correct something, want to get it now, and I can just feel this coming on. That's not the problem. The red light on the dashboard of my car, they tell me something wrong under the hood. The red light of anger is just God's gift to me to say, Chip, there's something going on. And by the way, sometimes it's a good thing. It's injustice, it's wrong, you ought to be angry, you ought to do something about it. So the red light doesn't mean something's always bad, but it tells you there's something beneath the issue. So the key question is, what is under the hood? Step two, we're to be quick to hear, we need to be slow to speak. Slow to speak, literally, it's slow to begin speaking. It's not speaking slowly. It's a warning against rash, hasty, unrestrained words that wound others' lives. This is our interim response. Our initial response is just don't react, listen, what's going on? Our interim response to God, other circumstances, and our anger is to think before we speak. And this takes practice and discipline. But listen to why it's so important from the wisest man who has ever lived, who will ever live. He says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. If you can just keep your mouth shut, sometimes. Someone said, when we use sharp words, we usually cut our own throat. And I think they're right. Proverbs 13:3 goes on to say, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And you know what? People will forgive you, but they don't always forget. Right? Some of you, if we passed a microphone, my second grade teacher told me I was dumb. I had a coach that told me, you'll never make it. My dad always said to me, you're lazy, you're lazy, you're lazy. Yet, have you forgiven them of some of those people who said things to you? Absolutely. You have not forgotten, and it marked you. So we got to be very, very careful about what comes out of our mouth. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who speaks in haste, quickly, reactionary? There's more hope for a fool than him. Restrain your tongue. Buy some time. Get your mind in gear before your tongue gets engaged. How? You know, part of it is remember the consequences. And the other is just get practical. You know you. And so sometimes when you feel anger, just walk away. Just walk away. I don't mean walk away and, you know what? Will you excuse me right now? I need to do a little thinking. Or take a walk. Thomas Jefferson, I mean, literally, he would count to 10. He could feel the anger boiling up. He knows he's about ready to say something. He would go, 1, 2, 3, 4. But just to stop himself to think long enough. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Is life about to come out or is death about to come out? And we are people of habit. You have learned, some of you, to just blurt out things. You know, if it's in your mind, you think it ought to come out your mouth. And God would say that's probably not a really good equation. And you're looking at a person who has had to work very, very, very hard on that. Because I'm a verbal processor. Well, that's kind of when I think out loud. But if I think something, I've just had it come out of my mouth. And you say, well, how do you ever break that? Part of my journey has been I made a commitment that when I said something to someone or about someone that I knew wasn't the right thing, no matter how small, I made a commitment before God that I would go to them and apologize and make it right, whether they were in the room or not. And I'm in a lot of meetings, and I'm with different people, and sometimes leaders, and sometimes, look, you know, you got to be really high D. We got to cut to the chase. What's the bottom line? You know, we got this person in this situation. He's a great guy, doesn't have the capacity. The organization has grown to here. We need to get to here instead of get to there. You know, great guy, would, you know, loving, kind. You know, he's the kind of guy you'd want to marry your sister, but he can't handle this job. We got to find somebody else. And it can start sounding very much like the mission is all that counts and people don't. And then people make a few little comments and you move on. And then you don't ever treat people that way, Chip. And I've had to go to people and say, you know, excuse me, you know, brother, you know, you've been here for a while and, you know, I'm kind of the new guy and things have been going downhill for a while. We've been reevaluating. And I was in a meeting and these words came out of my mouth in reference to you as though all your contribution wasn't valued. And I just want to tell you, I blew it, and I sinned. I asked God to forgive me. Will you forgive me? I'll tell you what, you only do a half a dozen of those. And so I would encourage you, whatever mechanism you need, the key question you ask then is, what must I do to prevent a verbal reflex response? And I don't know what it is for you. You count to 10. Practice whatever you need to do. A simple way, you might put a little star or circle in your notes. James 1, 19 and 20, and memorize it. I cannot tell you, of all the things, this is a small rabbit trail, I'll try to make it really small. In terms of transformation in my life, I don't know if there's anything that has helped me more than memorizing Scripture. When I was a young Christian, I was around a group that was really into Scripture memory. I probably did it for the first 3 years with terrible motives. I was trying to memorize more verses than anybody else. You just can't get the athlete out of me, you know? And it was wrong motives. But I would find myself praying and God would bring a verse and it was the answer. Someone asked me a question, God would bring a verse. I found myself ready to say something and God would bring a verse. And then I watched Jesus under spiritual attack and he didn't say, excuse me, Satan, I think I need to get back to the synagogue and look at some of these scrolls. Okay, Deuteronomy, here's a good one. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Can you hang on just 1 second? Thy God. The average Jewish boy had the entire first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Torah, memorized. Most of us watch 7 hours of television a day in our homes. That's 49 hours a week. The average college graduate reads 1 book a year. The average high school graduate, after he graduates, doesn't read another 2 or 3 books the rest of their life. We have become a soaking in, passive, and all the research on Alzheimer's, for some that are concerned, it is when you use your brain and exercise your brain and learn new things is the greatest prevention against, you know what? It's true of everything. You either use it or you lose it. And so I would just encourage you. The other is I think there's a really false view of how life change happens. We think trying hard and spiritual activities bring change. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's thinking. If you think the same way you think right now, 365 days from now, you can try hard, give it your best effort, and you'll be basically the same person. You have to think differently about God. Think differently about you. Think differently about sin. Think differently about the future. Think differently about the past. How? The Word. And you renew your mind in the Word. And so all I want to say is I think part of this, you can feel like, oh, you know, I can't do this. It's a pattern and it just blurts out of my mouth and I'm a spewer. And yes, you can. But I'm just saying it's hard work. It'll take time. You can write some things on 3x5 cards. Dear God, I desire to learn to get control of my tongue and speak only as your Holy Spirit prompts me. Write that down. James 1:19, on the back of the card, you write out James 1:19, and just stick that in your pocket and read it in the morning and read it before you go to bed. And you do that for a month, and I'll tell you what, your mouth will change because you're reprogramming your mind according to the truth. And the Spirit of God takes the truth of God's word and he'll bring about life change. So, number three, quick to hear, slow to speak. Third, slow to anger. A couple different words in the New Testament for anger. One is, you know, you can almost hear it. It's thumos. It means an explosion. And the other is orge. And that's this word here. It's not so much about outbursts, but it's harboring anger, resentful feelings. This anger that rolls around in your soul and your mind and your emotions. And over time, it builds. He says, be slow to anger. Be slow. Don't allow that to happen. Ecclesiastes says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. We had an immediate response to anger. Be a quick listener. An interim response is we got to be slow to speak. Get a hold of your tongue. The life-changing response to anger begins when we replace reaction with reflection. Reflection. You think it through. And guess where we are? We're right back to what we've been talking about. You say, I've got this anger. Reflection. What's underneath the hood? And then as you can see, we ask the basic questions that we've been talking about. What root issue, injustice, hurt, frustration, or insecurity is behind this anger? In other words, what's going on inside? And we get back down to what we talked about earlier. And so you can say to yourself, okay, look, right here it is. Right here it is. Am I hurt? My tool is an I feel message. Well, am I frustrated? Well, I need to shift it from I demand to I desire for expectations. Am I feeling threatened? Well, who's firing the darts? Is there something I need to learn? And you go right back to our last session. That's why I wanted to do this one next. Then you're really right back to A, B, C, D. Quick to hear. Okay, I want to listen, respond. Slow to speak. I'm going to stop stuff coming out of my mouth. And then I'm going to be slow to anger. I'm going to say, okay, anger is a symptom. A, I'm going to acknowledge that I'm angry. B, I'm going to backtrack to the primary emotion. C, I'm going to consider the cause of it. And then D, determine the right response. Do I speak or not speak? Do I do it in person? Do I do it in letter? Is it something that needs to be addressed or something I just need to let go of and release to God? Isn't it amazing how Scripture just very clearly lines out, here's how to address that wild stallion. And really what that passage is in James 1, 19 and 20, written to a group of people, you talk about an economic downtime, pressure. And basically he said, look, here's the spiritual bit in the wild stallion of anger in your life to bring it under control so your anger serves you instead of severs relationships with people that you love.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, turning anger from a foe to a friend, is from his series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. This five-part series from Chip takes you behind the scenes to discover the real source of anger and then how to turn that anger into a productive, helpful tool for personal and spiritual growth. Anger wears many masks. In this series, Chip explains the most common ways we express our anger and gives practical, biblical solutions to help rein in those angry feelings before they destroy our most treasured relationships. Because this series is one of our best-selling resources, we wanted to make it even more accessible to you while it's on the air. So for a limited time, all of the audio, video, book, and small group resources for overcoming emotions that destroy are significantly discounted. Whether you're looking for the small group study, the book, the CDs, or free MP3s and message notes, ordering is easy when you go to livingontheedge.org. And remember, we're always available to talk with you by phone at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, this whole idea of anger being an ally is so interesting. You know, it's such a complete 180 from everything I've ever thought about anger. It's going to take a bit to kind of retool my thinking on this.
Well, Dave, you're not alone on that one. I think most people believe that anger is bad, that it's always sinful. And the truth is, it's a neutral emotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, God wants to use anger for good as much as all the bad that comes out of it. And I think what happens is, until you get in a group of people and discuss it and shine the light on where you're angry and why and how it can be used for good, it's pretty tough to discover these things on your own.
You know, that's very true. And you know, it seems that some topics are better suited than others for the small group experience. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I really do. In fact, there's a group of guys, and they all came out of the Celebrate Recovery journey. And they were involved in various addictions, and you know, they owned their stuff and have been in this together, about six or seven of them. And they talked about how they went through a number of our small group resources. And after sort of they did, okay, this is who I am in Christ. And then it was, okay, I want to become a Romans 12 Christian. And then it was like, we did Holy Ambition. And he said, it was like, we took our 12 steps to step number 13 and 14.
Great.
And it was just so exciting because they said so many of us were stuck, or, you know, we got involved in things because we were hurt or we were damaged or we were abused or we abused substances. And you know what? There is healing. Confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. But that healing is always around truth. And I think this is one of those issues that the anger is sort of at the very top, and it's like that tip of the iceberg. And when you begin to discuss those things in a safe environment around truth, healing very deeply to the core of our being can occur. And that's why we created a small group resource.
Well, to help you get this study for your small group, or to help you get a group started, we've temporarily discounted the small group resources for Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. Just go to our website, livingontheedge.org, for all the details. Again, for a limited time, the small group resources for Overcoming Emotions That Destroy have been deeply discounted. To place your order, just head over to livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, now here's Chip with his final application.
As we close today's program, I wish we could sit down over a cup of coffee and I could look you in the eye and just say, okay, the last two broadcasts have been super practical. And if there's any step you can take to get help, go to the website, livingontheedge.org, and just download the notes. I've gone through multiple questions that help you identify the when, the how, the what to deal with anger. Second, I outlined a very clear four-step process called the ABCDs of anger that will give you a pattern, something simple to begin to deal with the issues in your heart and your life. A, acknowledge you're angry. That's big for some of us. B, backtrack to the primary emotion. Is it hurt, frustration, or insecurity? C, consider the real cause. And then D, determine how to respond. Should I do it now? Should I do it later? Should I do it in writing? Should I do it over the phone? There's a lot of specifics here. And I know as you listen, some of you are in traffic. Go to the website, livingontheedge.org. Download this. Look it over. Pray over it. God wants to help you, okay? This is the deal. He really wants to help you. He wants to help this anger issue become your friend, a tool, a light on the dashboard that you can know something's not right, you can address it, and you can grow. A, B, C, D of anger. Go get it and grow.
You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll get free access to all of Chip's recent messages, his message notes, and much more. Not only that, but it couldn't be easier to order resources or call or email us directly from the app. Download the Chip Ingram app when you go to Google Play or the App Store. Well, tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip will continue his series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. So be sure to make plans to join us then. For Chip and the entire team, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.